Hey, this is your agro boss, Jesse, with the Agro Lights, and you are listening to Rocket Fuel.
That's the reason getting up, so worry every day too much. Responsibility in the morning with my eyes. I'm falling off my head, look at him, and he starts my engines. That kid is Rocket Fuel. That kid is Rocket Fuel. That kid is Rocket Fuel. That kid, he's Rocket Fuel. That kid is Rocket Fuel. Please, please. That kid is Rocket Fuel.
What's up, and welcome to a special Warped Tour edition of Rocket Fuel. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on the show, I'll be playing music from bands that are on this year's Warped Tour, including Gaslight Anthem, Motion City Soundtrack, Bouncing Souls, and more. And later, I'll talk with Jesse Wagner, singer and guitarist for the dirty reggae band The Agrolites, who are also on this year's Warped Tour. But up first is music from 4 Years Strong. This Worcester, Massachusetts band was recently signed by Pete Wentz's label Decadence Records and has been playing the Warped Tour for over a month now. From their debut album, Rise or Die Trying, here is Heroes Get Remembered, Legends Never Die.
Yeah! doesn't matter. Yes, it doesn't matter anymore. You're gonna go to the record store. You're gonna give them all your money. Radio plays what they want you to hear. Tell me it's cool, I just don't believe it. Sell out with me, oh yeah. Sell out with me tonight. The record company's gonna give me lots of money, and everything's gonna be alright. And everything's gonna be
back on this special Warped Tour edition of Rocket Fuel. That was the infamous Orange County, California ska band Real Big Fish with their classic song Sell Out. Before that, you heard the fine Detroit band Hi-Fi Hand Grenades with Carry On. The band played 5 dates on the Warped Tour, including Canada and the Northern United States. The band will be playing another of dates in Europe this month and next with the likes of Alkaline Trio and Millencolin. And now, punk rock headlines. Riverside, California's Assorted Jelly Beans have rebanded after disbanding some time ago. According to the group's MySpace page, Assorted Jelly Beans were the reason that Joe and Warren from the Vandals started Kung Fu Records. Drummer Richard Falamir went on to become the Aquabats drummer with the alias Ricky Fitness. No future plans have been laid out so far, so keep checking for more updates. Singer-songwriter Bob Mould has announced his plans to release a new guitar album in early 2009. Mould very simply states, "Yes, it's a guitar album. Yes, it will be released by Anti in the United States. Yes, it is set for a February 2009 release. Yes, there will be a band touring next spring." It will be the follow-up to Mould's well-received March release, District Line. Red Scare chairman Tobias Jegg has posted a communique informing us unwashed masses about the upcoming 3rd annual Red October. This year's celebration of the young label will feature the Falcon, the Methadones, the Sidekicks, and Chicago locals Rule 22 performing at Subterranean on October 18th. Free Red Scare beer steins will be passed out to attendees, and there's potentially a second day in the works, but no details yet. The legendary Stooges were robbed while staying in Montreal, Quebec on their current tour. The band's equipment was in a rented Penske truck parked outside the Embassy Suites Hotel. The thieves grabbed the band's gear, including guitars, drums, cabinets, and more, and the band is hoping someone saw something or had any information leading to the recovery of the equipment. The band has been touring in support of The Weirdness, their first proper release in almost 34 years. And finally, Say Anything frontman Max Bemis recently launched a unique initiative offering to write new acoustic songs for paying fans. The band explained, "In an effort to minimize the gap between music listeners and performers, take up time on Warped Tour, and find some solution for the fact that anyone can download any of his gosh darn albums for free, Max came up with a predictably crazy idea in a haze of sleeping medication." Max has decided to open the door for a limited time to Say Anything fans who submit 1 to 2 paragraphs about an issue they are having, a serious problem they are going through, or even something they just felt should be written about. Max will take 2 to 3 days to deliver an acoustic, full-length, actual Say Anything song based on your experiences and what you submitted. Each song is 100% written by Max for you, the buyer. The going price for a Say Anything tune appears to be $150. Since announcing the initiative on August 1st via MySpace, the band has since closed orders due to overwhelming demand. There's no word if the initiative will continue. In response to this effort, the Flint, Michigan punk band The Swellers have taken this idea from Say Anything, but will write songs for their fans at no charge. For more details on this low-budget effort, visit The Swellers' MySpace page. Punk rock headlines are brought to you by punknews.org. You can do it. Punknews.org can help. Up next is a band that played just a week on the Warped Tour this year. The Gaslight Anthem played a small series of southern dates on the tour, and their highly anticipated album The 59 Sound is due out August 19 on Side 1 Dummy Records. From their Senior and the Queen EP, here is Say I Won't Recognize.
We're having a party, everybody's swinging. Tonight won't you come down, don't make me dance all night long. Friends, come out tonight. I'll call up my best friends, come out tonight. We'll put on our best shirts and finest cologne, and we'll turn the Casanova on. Well, come on out, Maria, and lose the tragic. Come on out, Maria, and we'll show you some magic. Meet on the warm sand walls at the twilight, watch the carnival lights explode. We're having a party, everybody's swinging. Tonight, won't you calm down out of your town? Don't make me dance all night alone. I've seen you from the window around, and I can get your perfume memory out. So come on before we get much older, and that could happen any one of these nights. Before we turn the ghosts on the mist of the sand, fall in line to more conducive lands. I never took a shine to the higher minds, but I can hold the song walls down. Party, everybody's swinging. Tonight, won't you calm down? Don't make me dance all night alone. 'Cause everybody's shaking like the end of the world, and everybody's waiting on the end of the world. And I ain't got a friend, baby, left in the world. Don't make me dance all night alone. We're having a party, everybody's swinging. Tonight won't you calm down out of your town? Don't make me dance all night alone. 'Cause everybody's shaking like the end of the world, and everybody's waiting on the end of the world. And I ain't got a friend maybe left in the world. Don't make me dance all night alone. Don't make me dance all night.
We'll be right back. Speak the truth and speak ever. Cause it what it will. Cause EU hide the wrong he did the wrong thing still.
To this special Warped Tour edition of Rocket Fuel. That was the Canadian reggae band Bedouin Sound Clash with St. Andrews, which comes off of their Street Gospels release. Before that, you heard the English band Beat Union with Can't Stop the Radio. The band is currently in Japan and will be heading back to the States for even more Warped Tour dates before the tour ends. Up next here on Rocket Fuel is more music from this year's Warped Tour, and it comes from Motion City Soundtrack. The band is playing about 2 weeks on the tour. From their last release, Even If It Kills Me, here is I Fell in Love Without You.
Bruce! bad intentions. Please tell me you're not coming over tonight. I have the worst intentions. Please tell me you're not thinking the same thing. The last time that I saw you, we were saying
take a real night.
we're back here at Rocket Fuel. That was the LA-based reggae band The Agrolites with Free Time. Before that, you heard Oregon's finest pop-punk band Broadway Calls with Bad Intentions, which came off of their self-titled debut album on Adeline Records. Going back to The Agrolites, I had a chance to talk with their singer and guitarist Jesse Wagner while the band had a day off from their hectic work tour schedule. We talked about reggae music, neon bands, and sleepwalking. Check it out. All right, I'm here with Jesse Wagner, singer and guitar player from the Agrolites. Hey, Jesse, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Doing good, thanks. Now, you guys have been playing every date of this year's Warped Tour. How's it been going so far, and how you guys holding up?
Warped Tour has been great. We're really happy to be a part of it. We're one of those, you know, those bands that play a pretty rare style of music these days, and it's a good opportunity for us to hopefully be a gateway for young kids to get into old school reggae and, you know, American soul music.
That's awesome. When I got to see you guys actually in Orlando, Angelo from Fishbone stepped up on the stage with you guys to play the theremin and just kind of add a lot of fun there to your set. How did you guys get hooked up with him and him playing with you guys on the tour?
Angela lives in Los Angeles. The band, the Agrolites, we're based out of Los Angeles, so we've always seen him here and there. We've opened for Fishbone a few times in the past, so we're kind of acquaintances with him. When he joined on the Warped Tour, he came up to us, and we invited him out to, you know, perform. So, yeah, it was cool. It was really an honor to have him with us, but, yeah, just one of those, hey, what are you doing here? And him saying, what are you guys doing here? And let's jam live in front of an audience, so good times.
That was awesome. Watching you guys play Party at Ground Zero with him was definitely a trip. It was awesome, so that's very cool. You talked a minute ago about, you know, kind of being a unique band, not only kind of out there now in music, but especially on the Warped Tour. Is that frustrating for you guys to be playing on this tour where a lot of the bands are, how do I say it, wearing girl-sized jeans and maybe catering to the
neon clothes?
You got it. You got it. Is that frustrating at all?
Written on their chest.
You got it.
Yeah, you know, I've got to say, for the first time, I feel like an old man going on tour because I try my hardest to keep an open mind, and I just can't understand the fashion these days.
Yeah,
looks like a lot of kids are taking like the worst fashion things from the '80s and making it cool.
Yeah,
but that's my own judgment. Beside that, I don't find it frustrating at all. I mean, this band is, you know, we play this music for a reason. It's the passion we have for old reggae. And as long as we can get it out to, you know, anybody, I mean, we'll play for crowds of 10 and put on just as hard of a show as we would for a crowd of 10,000, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So there's no reason to be bitter or upset that you're not playing the pop music or what's big these days because, you know, we're not in it for that kind of reason. We're in it for the passion, and I find this is a great opportunity for us to expose reggae music to kids these days.
Sure. Now, one of the things I love about you guys is that you take that, you know, raw 60s reggae sound, give it a modern twist, and you call it the Agrolites. Playing that type of music on the tour, like the Warped Tour, do you find yourselves getting an older crowd, people like me, or a younger crowd, or do you get a good mix while you're playing there during the tour?
I think that, I personally believe that everybody loves reggae music, whether they admit it or not. And it's been very few times I've came across someone that says they don't like it.
Right.
And even on the Warped Tour, there's always like the crowd on the next stage, because the stages are butted up next to each other, and there's always that audience waiting for the next band.
Right.
And I'll always call them out, you know, and be like, you guys ready for this next act? You know, this is what the Warped Tour is all about, is diversity. You're going to see every band every day for, you know, or every band during the day that are only playing 30-minute sets, but the great thing about the Warped Tour is to, you know, like, try to find something else, you know, and,
right,
and discover new bands that you haven't heard in the past, you know.
Right.
And by the end of the show, there's always that kid, or at the beginning of the show, there's always that kid flipping me off and, you know, you guys aren't, you know, like booing us. But then by the end of the show, I'll see the kid dancing, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, as far as our crowd, throughout the 7 years of being in the Agrolites, I've always noticed we've had a really, really diverse crowd. There's old people that like us. There's young kids that like us. There's hippie kids that like us, hip-hop kids that like us. you know, punk rock kids that are into it. So, I mean, I just think that reggae music is such a, you know, an inviting sound to a lot of people that it could appeal to anyone.
Sure. Is that pretty rewarding when you guys are on stage and you know maybe have that, you know, whether they're younger or older, whoever, really not so into you guys, but then you kind of win them over by the end of the 30-minute set? Does that make it all worthwhile?
No, definitely. That's what the Agarlites are all about since day one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We choose tours that, you know, purposely, like we've gone out with the Dropkick Murphys quite a few times, and you know, I mean, we chose that tour just for that reason. You know, it's like you can never stay in your same realm because it's not humbling. If you're going to stay in the same circuit and play the same shows all the time with the same bands all the time, you just kind of get to this level and just always be, you know, you're just not going to, I don't know, evolve from it. You know, and going on tours like the Warped Tour, or going out with the, you know, from Dropkick Murphys to going out with Madness, you know, in the UK, or opening up for Flogging Molly or something. It's humbling, and it's, you know, it's kind of like fishing. You throw the rod out and see what you catch, you know, and that's what we're all about, is just trying to win people over, you know.
Sure.
Every day's a challenge, you know.
Sure. Now, do you guys find it challenging to try to get a 30-minute set? Obviously, you only get 30 minutes, as you said. Is it hard for you guys to show an audience in only 30 minutes just what the Agarlites are all about?
It's always hit and miss. Some days are good. Some days, you know, could have been better. But I mean, it's we're that kind of band where it's like if a kid's gonna watch us, you know, a lot of teenage people, you know, and I was one of those kids as a teenager where it's like you're not, you know, you insecure and you know you're trying to find yourself and develop. So you're seeing who's around you, and if your friends around you are into something, it's, you know, it's like the peer pressure thing.
Sure.
So I mean, us on stage having a 30-minute set, I noticed that, you know, the first 20 minutes are kids with this deer in headlights look, you know?
They're not used to seeing anybody like you.
Yeah, they don't know what to expect. They don't know if they should dance to it. They don't know if they should applaud or boo it. And they're just like, you can't believe this band's jumping around like a bunch of punk rockers playing reggae music.
Right.
But, I mean, once you get that one kid smiling and you work around that kid, there's going to be other kids looking at those kids having fun, and then that kid's going to, you know, they come to the show to have a good time.
Yeah.
You spend $30 or whatever it costs to get into the Warped Tour to have a good time. Why are you not going to let yourself have a good time? You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if you're not going to be into the band, then just walk away and go watch one of the other 70 bands that are playing that day.
Exactly. You can find that neon band. Yeah.
well, neon kids. That's, yeah. I'll trademark that word.
Yeah.
Actually, I won't. My friend will. My friend Jared made that one up. That was pretty funny.
There you go. now, thinking about, you know, you're talking about, you know, the kids these days and stuff. When you were a kid, what kind of music were you listening to, and what bands kind of influenced the sound that you guys make now?
When I was growing up, my mother raised me on, you know, a lot of the Beatles stuff from the Merseybeat, old English sound. And my dad and my mom's brother, who's my uncle on my mother's side, they were from soul bands from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
So they were all into Motown, and you know, my dad was into Tower Power in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and groups like that. So I grew up on my parents' vinyl. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I was listening to what all the other kids were listening to, but when I hit a certain age of, you know, falling in love with music, I always went back to my parents' records. And I think by the time I was around maybe 13, 14, I was that one kid listening to this weird giant record on a record player, and other kids were into CDs, and
sure.
I wanted to find some kind of music modern that had that same element as like a lot of the old 60s soul groups did. And my sister's boyfriend, older sister, he was, you know, the guy I looked up to at the time.
Sure.
And he took me to a record store, and he bought me a couple ska CDs. And told me ska's got horns, and it's, you know, it's just cool music, you know. And, you know, punk rock, a lot of punk bands like The Clash and Stiff Little Fingers, Sham 69, you know. Listening to that at the time, but you don't realize that they're covering reggae songs at the time.
Right.
And then, you know, or like, and then so on. Like, I was into a band called The Skeletones, which was a local band from where I'm from.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
A band called Hepcat from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
They were the gateway that made me dig deep into, like, old school ska and things like that. Obviously, the Specials, Madness had a lot to do with it also, you know. So, I mean, just as that as a kid, like, when you find something that you like and you get so involved into it that you want to dig deeper and deeper and see where they got their influences from, that's what one of my main goals for as the Aggrolites is to hope that we could be that gateway band, you know. Not to be this big rock star, famous millionaire or anything. You know, everybody would like that. That'd be nice. But at the same time, it's like, you know, just to find out that some kid heard of the Aggrolites and went and discovered the Upsetters or you know, the Dynamites or, you know, the Pioneers, you know, through that'd be a real touching experience, you know, or that'd mean a lot to me.
That's pretty awesome.
Did I answer that question right?
you hit it right on the nail on the head. That's good.
Okay.
Now thinking about you know, reggae music, what do you see as the future of reggae music in the United States?
I have no idea, but I hope that reggae music in the United States is. I mean, there's reggaeton and a lot of stuff that I don't listen to.
Right.
There's Sean Paul and things like that where they were touching the, you know, getting on like Alton Ellis cover of I'm Still in Love with You, and I mean, like, not America, but like Lily Allen was touching on doing some rock steady stuff, and even Amy Winehouse dipped into that a bit,
right,
with the Dap Kings. And as far as Americans, I mean, I've just always noticed that growing up in the United States, when people say they like reggae, the first thing that comes out afterwards is Bob Marley,
right,
and the Legend album,
right.
You know, I just saw this movie called I Am Legend. That's a movie. Is that the movie with Will Smith where
yeah.
he's like the only guy that exists on the planet?
That's
or whatever?
That's the one.
And there's this whole speech of Marley, and he named his daughter Marley and this and that, and his album is the greatest album of all time. And it's like, you know, Legend is a compilation of great Wailer tunes, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, there's so much more to reggae music to where you could go the rest of your life trying to collect everything you can just between a certain time period of, like, say, 1969 through 71, and you couldn't collect it all because there was so many great artists and so many great musicians. And I don't know. I just hope that in America someday we could turn on the radio and hear the Upsetters just like we hear, you know, the Funk Brothers of Motown, things like that, you know? And I know it worked in the UK in 69. You know, reggae was like the on the top of the pops and all that with Liquidator, Harry J. All-Stars. So I'd love to see the United States fall in love with reggae music just like the Europeans did.
Sure. Yeah, well, I definitely am right there with you. Now, when I listened to your self-titled album, which, of course, is the second release, but your first on Hellcat, when I listened to that record, it has to me, it almost sounds like I'm back in the 60s listening to the songs on vinyl, just kind of that raw feel. I just get that sense. And then when I listen to your latest album, Reggae Hit LA, it's the same great tunes, but there's a little more polish there to the record. Was that a deliberate move by you guys, or was that just kind of a natural progression as you guys were in the studio?
Well, we recorded it. We did it the same way. I mean, we call this... We're trying to create our own genre, call it dirty reggae, you know, and the reason why is because we obviously can't play it as good as the Jamaicans did, so why call it, you know, the real deal? And the reason why I call it dirty reggae is because we were so in love with the fact that, you know, it'd be a bunch of Jamaican dudes in a room in, you know, a third world country in poverty that would just be in a room pounding out 20 to 30 songs a day.
Right.
And it'd be recorded live where everybody's just doing it together, so there's this, like, raw, natural sound of just this big unit of a machine, you know. Reggae is like a big machine of just this constant rhythm, you know. The drums and the bass lock, the guitars lock, and when you're doing that live and you're pounding out, you know, maybe a two-chord rhythm, you could go for a couple minutes and you'll just start feeling that energy between each other.
Sure.
And sometimes the thing that we love about reggae songs is when there's that slight out-of-tune guitar or that slight mess-up and no overdubs over it, sometimes that, like, gives that song that much more character to where you fall in love and you're waiting for that part of that song.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's how we recorded Dirty Reggae, the first album. The self-titled was along the same vibe. But, you know, we never want to make the same album twice, but
sure.
We want to always keep it real to what we do. And when we came to that third album, Reggae Hit LA, I think we were just, you know, trying to go for more of that professional 60s quality, like Motown would have been doing or something, you know? And,
sure.
And, you know, as reggae progressed, you know, I mean, they were getting better at their recordings also. But there really wasn't anything that was done differently other than certain mic settings in the room. But it was still just a live energy vibe like we've always done.
Sure. I mean, it's a great record. I'm a big fan of you guys. Listen to all of them. So,
I think the subtitle was more, you know, influenced by like Simmerip and like those anthem songs, those group vocal songs, you know?
Right.
And we wanted to show a different side of ourselves and prove that we can actually write, you know, songs. So the Reggae LA one had a lot of American soul influence added to it, you know? And, you know, like writing a slow song, like Let's Pack Our Bags, and
right.
Influenced by the Gay Lads, an old Rocksteady group, reggae group from Jamaica, and, you know, just trying to touch different elements of the same exact thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think you accomplished that with the record. Again, I, you know, love that, you know, kind of what I was talking about, that raw sound of the self-titled record. But to be honest with you, I equally, you know, love the Reggae Hit LA album. So I think you definitely were able to achieve that with that record, for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Going back to just a couple of questions about the Warped Tour. One of the best things about Warped Tour is being able to, you know, discover new bands, discover new music. Has there been any bands that you've met on the Warped Tour that maybe you didn't know beforehand that you've kind of grown to appreciate and enjoy their music?
Yeah, actually, I was disappointed in myself for being so ignorant towards music, because I kind of get stuck in an era of music and don't really try to discover new bands at the time. But I found actually a lot of groups. There's a Bedouin Soundclash is one of them, who is like huge, famous group throughout Canada and the Europe. And I mean, I never took the time of day to give them a chance and even listen to it. But once I saw their live show, I was really blown away. St. Albia, there's a group called St. Albia who played one of the smaller stages. I thought they were really good. There's a band out of the UK called Beat Union. It's like majorly influenced by Elvis Costello and like English beat kind of stuff. There's a punk rock band called The Bronx. I wouldn't even know if they're really considering punk rock. They're just a really great band that based out of Los Angeles. There's too many to mention. I always thought it was, like, one great experience about this tour is you could be, you know, like, there's a band called Bring Me the Horizon out of the UK,
right.
Which is straight up, I don't even know that, I would say death metal, like, reminds me of something of Slayer.
Oh, wow.
And then you got the Agrolites playing, you know, on the stage next to them right beforehand. But what I really like about this tour, backstage and actually meeting all these different kinds of bands and all these people and all these different personalities, and everybody has one thing in common, and that's music. And whether they are into your music or not, or you're into their music or not, you can appreciate the musicianship of what everybody does. You know, and I always think that I've just been really, you know, like, into that this whole tour, but just hanging out with different kinds of groups and different kinds of bands and opening my mind up to what they're into and why they're into it, you know?
That's awesome.
And sometimes it's disappointing when you see an audience that is so segregated from each other that they don't want to get into your band, or they don't want to get into the band that's after you. And it's really just for a lot of the bands on the Warped Tour to see something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's and there's definitely I've been going to Warped Tour for a long time. I'm older than I'd like to admit, but that's always been my favorite part about, you know, the actual tour. Obviously, you get to see a whole slew of bands that you love and you already know. But the best part is, you know, when there's like a free hour to kill or whatever, just to wander around and, you know, let your ears guide you. So it's definitely a pretty cool tour. No matter what, you know, a lot of people knock it, but I still go every year and I still enjoy it. Now, what is the craziest thing that's happened to you guys while you've been on the Warped Tour?
Craziest situation. We were in an RV the first half of the tour, and our guitar player Brian, he was sleepwalking in the middle of the night.
Oh my!
And he accidentally stepped foot out of the RV to where the RV was going 60 miles an hour, and he actually dipped his toe on the concrete going 60 miles an hour.
Oh, my.
And I woke up and grabbed him and had to throw him on the futon and wake him up. And he didn't realize what happened. He had to see the medic every day because his toenail was completely ripped off and his toe was just a dangling piece of meat.
Oh, my goodness.
That was pretty crazy.
Golly. Well, that definitely defines crazy. Well, we definitely hope that he has a quick recovery and he's definitely...
he's fine now.
Great.
He's all good now.
Oh, that's
everything's great. I mean, yeah, that his toe's healed up now and everything's fine. I'm just happy that Brian Dixon's still with us because he's a great rhythm guitarist and he's one of my favorite guys in the group. So.
That's awesome. That's definitely good to have him around, that's for sure. Now, of course, the last date of the Warped Tour is in your hometown of L.A. Do you guys have any special plans just to blow the roof off of the place or what?
If you have anything, I'll tell you if it's going to be a surprise.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I heard some people might be around at the same time, and maybe we could talk getting on stage with us, but no promises and no names being said.
Understand. It's all in the hush-hush right now. But for those folks that are lucky enough to be at that L.A. show, you will definitely have to be there to watch the Agrolite set, because I'm going to guess there's going to be something cool. Awesome. Now, my last question is, after that L.A. Date for the Warped Tour, when the tour is over, besides reuniting with your own bed and your own shower, what plans do you guys have after the tour is over?
After the tour is over, my plan is to hibernate in my bed for a good month. spend as much time with my wife as possible because it's, being gone for 8 weeks and seeing her only for a few days throughout the month where she could come out and visit, So I guess maybe just a nice long dinner with my wife and renting a lot of movies, and we just got a Nintendo Wii, so maybe trying out video games.
There you go. Well, that's really great. Well, it's definitely well-deserved, and I know it'll be nice for you to get back and spend some time with your wife for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Well, Jesse, thank you so much. Of course, this is an off day for the tour for you, so I greatly appreciate you taking the time out from your day off to talk with me and to be on the show.
No problem at all. I appreciate you interviewing me.
I'd like to thank Jesse from the Agrolites for taking the time out to be on the show during their hectic tour schedule. Up next is another great dirty reggae song from the band. From their self-titled album, here is Funky Fire. Welcome back to a Warped Tour special edition of Rocket Fuel. By request from Julie and Gary of Orlando, that was the all-female Japanese band Ora Ska Band with Pinocchio. The band has been playing all of the dates on this summer's Warped Tour. Up next is more music, and this time it's from New Jersey punk legends Bouncing Souls. The band played a little over a week on the tour in the Northeast United States and Canada. From their latest effort, The Gold Record, here is Sarah Saturday.
Midnight and the sound of rain. Sarah's on her way again. I see her smile and close her eyes, shutting off the world outside.
Third Avenue, rumbles all around her. So unaffected by the chaos that surrounds her. Ready works to the music in her.
we're back here at Rocket Fuel. You just heard Warped Tour veterans Pennywise. That was the title track from their 1993 album, Unknown Road. That'll do it for this special Warped Tour edition of Rocket Fuel. Send any requests, comments, or love letters to me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send me a message through my MySpace page at www.myspace.com/rocketfuelpodcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.